going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03 Wednesday, April 23rd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Judson Richards in for Rob Hart. Well, Asian Americans are becoming a larger part of live sports viewing. We'll take a closer look in our next segment. But right now, YouTube turns 20 years old, marking two decades since Me at the Zoo debuted and launched a platform that transformed media culture and how we consume content. Joining us on the Village of Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show there in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, good afternoon to you. Let's begin here. YouTube has changed media in ways most people couldn't have fathomed 20 years ago. Help us understand how that all unfolded.
Sure. Well, I think what Joed Karim and Steve Chen and Chad Hurley, the three guys who founded YouTube, and you mentioned Me at the Zoo is the first video, a 19-second video. That they sold it to Google for $1.6 billion, just putting things in perspective, in 2006. Now, roughly market valuation, if it were sold as its own company, would be half a trillion, about $500 to $550 billion in its valuation. It is on track to be the biggest media company by revenue in 2025, beating Disney, among others. So, you know, the explosive expansion is sort of hard to even quantify. But one of the main reasons is because a lot of people who have, anybody who has a smartphone, frankly, and maybe a tripod or even not, could start making money on this platform. So on the one end, a huge amount of content, 500 hours of video content is uploaded every minute. And on the other hand, a lot of it's consumed. So that's a money-making enterprise, obviously.
When it comes to eyeballs and media reach, where does YouTube stand?
It is, well, let's put it this way. As mentioned, it's going to be ahead of Disney by revenue this year. If you look at it, it's ahead of Netflix, it's ahead of Disney and Fox. So that's in terms of the number one, it is the number one most visited website in the world. So again, by almost any metric, it is a giant winner. One of the main reasons is the profit margins are huge. Essentially what Google pays for, Google owns YouTube, of course, what Google pays for is server farms and server storage, and they generate lots and lots of ad revenue, but they only share a percentage of that with their creators, so to speak. Now, to put things in perspective, the number one creator, so to speak, by revenue anyway, on YouTube is somebody a lot of people have heard of, Mr. Beast. He makes $54 to $55 million a year in ad revenue, and that in now, granted, he has 370 million subscribers. That's a lot. But if you want to start making money, you know, if you're out there and you're thinking, I think I could do this for myself, if you can get about 500,000 monthly views, you can make about $25,000 a year. That just to put things in perspective. It takes time, but it can be done.
If you're going to do anything today, maybe go to YouTube and watch the story of Mr. Beast and how he became the beast that he is on YouTube. It's a pretty fascinating story. Paul, final one. YouTube inches transform how we watch videos. Speaking of Mr. Beast, it helped create an entirely new career path called the influencer.
That's right. In fact, ad revenue, to your point, is not the only way somebody can make money on YouTube. If you are influential, hence the word influencer, if you're influential, if you, say, cover a certain category, a certain vertical, and you start to own that, if you will, people consider you an influencer, not just somebody who generates eyeballs, but also somebody who generates purchases and sales elsewhere. They'll pay, in addition to the ad revenue that you can generate and obviously pocket, they'll also, many companies will pay you as an influencer because you can sway folks to buy their product. So there are multiple income streams. Google has profited mightily. The folks who founded YouTube were excited at $1.6 billion, I'm sure, but now looking at $550 million, virtually everybody is looking at this as a giant vault into which they would like to walk.
Paul, fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for your insight. Paul Hochman, that's president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show. We were taking a look at the two-decade, really, birthday today of YouTube. Coming up next, one particular ethnic group is showing substantial growth in the watching of live sports.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Asian Americans now make up a growing share of live sports viewership and are becoming key targets for advertisers. Let's track that trend right now with the help of Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Fortaire Group right here in Chicago. Tim, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Well, explain to us how Asian American audiences are really reshaping live sports viewership trends.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic, Judson. The folks from Nielsen, which obviously measure and track these things diligently, have basically shown that in their latest gauge metrics of how people are consuming television, watching video, et cetera, that the Asian American cohort, and that includes folks who identify themselves as Pacific Islanders or Native Hawaiians, but Asian Americans essentially tend to be over-indexing in streaming, but most specifically in consuming live sports. Now, that in and of itself is an interesting standout when you put that in context with the reality that broader audiences are watching a lot more live sports in streaming environments, right? So this is a standout cohort within itself, an expanding behavior that is watching live sports in streaming, and it certainly brings up some very interesting opportunities when that audience is of such level of scale that, hey, perhaps there are some unique marketing and or advertising and other opportunities that could be found as an Asian American cohort is watching live streaming. And that's, I think, what's tantalizing to a lot of different people in the sports realm.
Yeah, Tim, let's stay there. So what does this shift mean for future sports marketing and even content strategy?
Well, so I that's a really good question. I don't think that's necessarily unique to this cohort of Asian Americans over-indexing and watching live streaming sports, because what's appealing And at this audience sort of shows is that there is an appetite for an interest in alternate broadcasts, at least whether it's in a foreign language and whatnot, right? So if it's first generation folks who are either struggling with English or appreciate perhaps more of a quote unquote hometown kind of feel when they're watching Shohei Ohtani and a Los Angeles Dodgers game live streaming. The reality is that that's actually a very attractive and relatively new opportunity where streaming allows for not only alternative delivery altcasts, but simply real-time language translations or alternate feeds based on other languages, right? So that's not necessarily unique to Asian languages, but certainly in the United States in particular, Spanish-speaking audiences or various dialects from various audiences, like, say, the Polish community here in Chicago or the Russian community, et cetera. So we're going to see a lot more of that. As live streaming becomes more attractive and more appealing to people, there's going to be a desire for more personalization, shall we say, of their experiences, and language delivery is probably prime among them.
We're joined by Tim Hanlon of the Vertair Group. So, Tim, could the growing influence of Asian American sports fans reshape how leagues schedule games, choose broadcast partners, or even tailor in-game experiences?
Yeah, I think that's another excellent question. I think the answer is undoubtedly yes. I think you see it nibbling around the edges with Major League Baseball, especially as folks like Ohtani and other Japanese players, Korean players, the game becomes more worldwide. And I think you're going to see that more and more in things like soccer, international soccer, and frankly, the NBA and some of the other and the NFL. These are obviously very high consumed and interesting sports properties that come emanate out of the United States. It would not be illogical to think that either of those leagues and others wouldn't consider doing games actually there, as well as adjusting some schedule to bow humbly in the general direction of that growing audience.
Tim, fascinating stuff. Thanks for your insight this afternoon. That's Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group. Hey, coming up next on this Personal Finance Wednesday, gaining a better understanding of your credit score and the impact it can have.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is Personal Finance Wednesday, part one. A person's credit score is more important than ever to their overall financial health. Joining us with strategies to boost it is Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com there in New York. Ted, good afternoon to you. Let's begin right here. So help us understand, how much does a credit score really affect major financial decisions like buying a home or a car?
It's a huge factor. It's one of the biggest starting points for lenders of all types. They're going to look at your credit score, which, just like a standardized test score for a student, it's really kind of a report card that puts people on level footing. It's supposed to predict whether or not you're going to pay your bills on time. There are other factors that are important too, like your income, for example. But credit score is a really important factor.
All right, let's stay there with factors. What's the biggest factors that impact your credit score today?
Payment history is number one. Do you pay your bills on time? That's followed by how much you owe. That's a category that also includes what's called your credit utilization ratio, credit you're using divided by credit available to you on things like credit cards. They also look at the length of your account history, the mix of credit that you've used, and how recently you've applied for credit. Basically, all of this boils down to try to show that you can pay on time over the long haul using a lot of different types of credit. Don't apply for too much all at once, and try to keep your debts low.
So, Ted, for those who may be operating in a bad place, what quick fixes can someone implement to see an immediate credit score boost?
A good starting point is to look for errors. The Federal Trade Commission says that about 1 in 5 Americans have errors on their credit reports. Some of these are really significant. Now, if you have slipped up and you've paid late, you can try to fill your report with positive information to hopefully outweigh it. It won't make that totally go away, but it can limit the damage. You could get on someone else's card, like a parent or a spouse or a sibling, as an authorized user. Get on their credit card, piggyback off of their hopefully positive account history. You could also sign up for programs like Experian Boost, which pull in things that haven't traditionally counted. Streaming services, utilities, certain rent payments. That's a free program you can opt into. You could also apply for credit in your own name, like a secured credit card, which is a very safe, easy to obtain card where you put down a deposit and that's your credit line. Some credit unions and other institutions offer credit builder loans, which is kind of a form of forced savings that reports to the bureaus. Try to fill your report with good information.
Ted, in about 60 seconds, tell us about good habits. What are some long-term habits people get into to have a stable credit score?
It's really the lather, rinse, repeat of pay your bills on time, keep your debts low. Don't avoid credit entirely. It is important to show some activity. Responsible use of a credit card can actually be a great way to build and maintain credit, because as long as you pay in full every month, you don't owe interest. There's a lot of benefits, rewards, credit building, things like that. Maybe consider auto payments so you don't slip up and pay late by mistake.
Ted, thanks so much for joining us today. That's Ted Rossman, Bankrate.com, discussing credit scores. Still ahead on this Personal Finance Wednesday, today's fast-moving housing market requires thorough preparation.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
All right, stocks are trading sharply higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana. Check out his website at horizoninvestment.com. Chuck, thanks for joining us. What a day on Wall Street it's been. What is behind the optimism we're seeing?
Yeah, I think there are really four things. One, you have the tariff talks surrounding China possibly will be de-escalated a little bit. And I think that's a big deal. I mean, the biggest issue surrounding tariffs really are the tariffs on China. And if that can be eased at all, that the market's going to like that. The second thing is that President Trump said that he was not going to fire Fed Chair Powell. I'm not sure he has the ability to fire him, but that takes a little bit of an uncertainty off the table. Third, you know, we're in earnings season, and some of the early earnings reports have been pretty good. And I think that has been a help for the market. And then finally, you know, following yesterday, which was a strong up day, and then we go into today, you have another strong up day. You know, short sellers out there are probably covering positions, and that's providing more buying power as well. So I think you've got four factors that are helping the market today.
Chuck, what's the biggest threat to financial markets right now?
Well, to me, it always goes back to inflation, interest rates, and corporate profits. And, you know, obviously the big talk has been around tariffs, but tariffs are only going to matter if they impact inflation, interest rates, or corporate profits. I think the biggest issue facing the market from a sustainability standpoint to the upside is really, I think, the corporate profit side of things. That's usually where the problems are, and that's usually where, you know, the market takes its cues from. So I think, you know, the market's going to be watching very closely the corporate profit situation. And thus far, again, we're way early in earnings season, but thus far that has been okay, good enough to kind of help these rallies the last 2 days.
Chuck, the million-dollar question, what's your advice for individuals who are skittish and unsure what to do in the current market conditions?
Yeah, I think, you know, our tool that we use to discern the market's primary trend is the Dow Theory, and it's still saying that this is a bear market. Having said that, you know, bear markets do create opportunities for long-term investors. They improve valuations, and they allow you to maybe raise some cash to put to work. So I think the biggest thing I would say is stay engaged in markets. I know it's easy to kind of become disengaged during bear markets, but stay engaged and look for those opportunities, and don't be bashful if you see an opportunity to start to feed money back into the market. You don't have to back up the truck. But at some point, you kind of need to start putting money, if you have some cash on the sidelines, back into some good stocks. And I think now would not be the worst time to start nibbling.
We're joined by Chuck Carlson of Horizon Investment Services. Chuck, do you see any areas of the market that are cheap right now?
I think there's some areas, you know, technology has been hit pretty hard. And when you look at some of the valuations in that space versus where they were, you know, even 3 or 4 months ago, they have come down. Now, whether they're cheap enough, I still think there's probably a little bit more downside in that group as well as most sectors here. But, you know, rather than try to pick a bottom, which is very difficult to do, I think that's an area where people can start to kind of feed money in. And I think also, too, the one area of the market that's held up extremely well, but I still think there's opportunity there because of earnings growth, or on the utility side of the equation. I think there's reasonable, you can buy pretty good growth in there for reasonable valuation. So I think those are two sectors I would be looking at.
Chuck, we thank you so much for joining us today. That's Chuck Carlson, of course, the CEO of Horizon Investment Services there in Hannam. Again, if you want to track him down, see more of what he's discussing and talking about, find his website at horizoninvestment.com. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, being ready to turn on a dime when you find the house you want. We'll dive into that.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is a Personal Finance Wednesday, part two of this hour. It's critical that potential homebuyers prepare now so they're ready to act when it's time to pull the trigger on a purchase. Joining us with Need to Know Advice is Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group right here in Chicago. Drew, good afternoon to you. Let's begin with this. Let's start with the current market conditions for homebuyers and why it's critical to be fully prepared before making a move.
Absolutely. Judson, thanks again for having me out here today. Inventory is still an issue. It's certainly something that the inventory is remaining tight. The housing supply it's gradually increasing, but it's still way below the historical averages. And, our home prices are continuing to rise, but it's definitely slowing down. So most what we're hearing and seeing is that, it's going to be more of a modest price growth in 2025. And then the mortgage rates are expected to come down a little bit. And I think that will certainly help out and get people ready to get off the fence and either sell their house or go out there and buy that new one.
Yeah, let's discuss why your finances need to be in order before you even start looking for a home.
Yeah, I think that's a real huge piece that a lot of people maybe just would look over, because, saving for that down payment and your closing costs and, making sure that your credit scores are strong and good so you can get that mortgage and you don't have to worry about the qualifications anymore. I think it's just so important to make sure that you've got your credit and you've got your finances all kind of organized and ready to go, so that when you do, or if you do see that house that you want to move on, you can pounce on it right away. You don't have to worry about doing that after the fact. Probably is important to get, pre-approved for that mortgage and, meeting with that lender and talking and discussing what opportunity or what program may be best for you. The pre-approvals really strengthen the offer, and it really speeds up that buying process for the buyers as well.
We're joined by Drew Wishover of the Inspired Title Group. So Drew, what are some things home buyers often overlook only to be caught off guard later?
Yeah, I think a lot of times they'll go through the process of looking at, waiving the inspection piece. I think that's something that is super important to do, especially first-time homebuyers. I mean, you want to know what you're buying. You want to know the condition it's in. I think it's super important to make sure that you don't overlook that inspection process, because it's a big part of this. I mean, you could be buying yourself a huge, huge headache and an expensive thing that you realize that maybe you can't afford as that situation arises. So you really want to make sure that is something that you concentrate on too. Take your time, be patient. It I know that everybody's been patient to this point with how the market's been, but also be flexible. You pounce on that house and maybe give up some of the things that, the must-haves, maybe reduce some of those down to, you can live with.
On the other side of that coin, what's often overlooked by sellers?
Well, that's an interesting question too, because I think the sellers are really out there putting the prices up there because they feel that it's a seller's market, so they can get the top dollar. So they may be pricing themselves out of the market because they're just putting it too high. So working with a qualified realtor would be certainly something that you'd want to do as well, and making sure that you fix the house up, make it presentable, in negotiating the process through this, because knowing that you might be able to get top dollar for it, and you know, it depends on what your financial situation is on the other side. Are you selling to move and go somewhere else, or are you selling because you're going to downsize and you have the financial wherewithal to move into that next home, that lower home? But if you're upgrading, you're going to want to try to get top dollar, but don't price yourself out of the market, and you know, make sure your house is in a presentable and you know, respectable condition, and make it appealing.
Drew, we bought our home in June of 2021, so this was in the craze of if it was a house that anyone wanted, you weren't getting it unless you came in over offer.
Right.
Are we still near that, or is it a little bit more like older times where you could come under and then there was somewhat of a back and forth?
I think that answer is conditioned based on the area that you're looking in, because some of the more desirable areas are warranting these opportunities where people are going to, you know, overpay for that house and they're going to come in and at over asking. But in some of the areas where maybe some of the investors are looking, where they're looking to maybe fix that house up and resell it, or you as a home buyer first time are looking to buy that house and put in a couple equity dollars in there to sweat equity dollars to fix it up, those you might be able to still get because they've been sitting out there for a little bit longer. And I think that time on the market piece is also something to look at. If it's been on the market for a while, you have to ask yourself the question why. Those might be the ones you can target to get at a discount versus the ones that are just popping on in the premium areas. You're going to have to be ready to, you know, open up your wallet and jump on those.
Drew, great information. Thanks so much. That's Drew Wishover, founder and owner of Inspired Title Group right here in Chicago. Hey, join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday, and still to come, a look at some of the best areas of opportunity in the Chicago job market.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, college graduates are helping flood the Chicago job market, but there are certain areas where a number of opportunities exist. Let's find out where they are from Michelle Reisdorf, a Chicago jobs expert with Robert Half Company right here in Chicago. Michelle, good afternoon to you. So what are some of the top in-demand jobs in Chicago currently, especially in fields with strong growth and low unemployment rates?
Yes. So we have what we call kind of the top five in Chicagoland, number one being technology, major companies, startups in the area. Number two being healthcare. Again, we have a major hospital network, a lot of biotech firms. It's a healthcare powerhouse in Chicagoland. Number three, accounting and financial services. Chicago, again, is a major financial center, especially like in trading or insurance, in fintech. Number four, professional services and business support, a mix of either business analyst, coordinator positions. And number five, rounding out in marketing, communications, and media. Chicago has a strong advertising media scene in the marketplace.
Michelle, breaking through into Chicago's most in-demand job sectors, it takes more than just applying online, right? Let's discuss some of those other steps that the young folks should be thinking about.
Absolutely. It helps to be connected, whether it be through networking groups, associations, et cetera, where you have a little bit of a leg up, somebody that will make an intro into an organization for you so that you're not just relying on your resume being picked up by a recruiter. It's also even working with a recruiting firm who oftentimes knows about open positions that aren't posted and can get you in front of a hiring manager.
And just because you don't have a major or years of experience in a particular field, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'd be shut out, right?
No, absolutely not. You know, soft skills are very important, too. A lot of companies are willing to train. So you just want to make sure any skills that you've picked up, whether in education or an internship, are relatable to the company, industry, or even job that you're applying for, and to know really how to pitch that.
Do they still do a lot of internships?
There are quite a bit of internships out there, yes. A lot of companies looking to, kind of feed in early talent before graduation in hopes to securing them, especially in industries like technology or financial services.
Great stuff there. Michelle Reisdorf, thanks so much for all of your insight. That's Michelle Reisdorf from Chicago Jobs Expert with Robert Half. Hey, if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.